And this might be a surprise to some of you, but this is something that Liz and I have been moving towards for a while now. And Liz is going to share a little bit of that journey with you. And I'll take over.
So my journey towards thinking about missions kind of started early on when my brother Mark just really challenged me to think about whether God was calling me to send or whether God was calling me to go to do cross-cultural work. And I just kind of wanted to learn more about, well, is there a place for me in my gifting? I don't want to totally change from being a teacher to doing something else. I want to see how my gift as a teacher really fits where there's needs overseas. So that I just started exploring possibilities and went on a missions trip to Nepal to really just learn more. I was there as a learner to figure out what opportunities are there for teachers, and found, oh, that there are Christian schools overseas where they have needs for education and where my role as a teacher could fit really well. So that just kind of, you know, didn't close the door for me. I wanted to continue learning more about, okay, God, is this something that you're calling me to be a teacher overseas and do this kind of work?
Yeah, that particular opportunity in Nepal, KISC, K-I-S-C, that's Kathmandu International Study Center. It's just a missionary kids' school in the capital of Nepal. We actually went on that trip together a month before our wedding in 2016. So that was June, right, of 2016? Well, my exposure to missions, I don't know if you can see me too clearly there. I'm waving a Bible around. That's what I do when I preach here on Sundays, wave a Bible around. When I'm doing that in India before a group of kids, probably just excited to see a white person jumping up and down with a Bible in his hand. But that was 2011, went on that trip with my college church, and then 2012, I got an opportunity to teach English to a whole lot of Chinese teachers in China. I was in Beijing. At that time, I was even considering, well, maybe the Lord is calling me to teach English overseas as kind of a missionary career, possibly. So a couple months after that, right after I graduated in December of 2012, I got the opportunity to go to St. Louis, where InterVarsity Christian Fellowship hosts a missions conference for college students called Urbana. Urbana Missions Conference. Every 3 years they host this, and thousands of young people, thousands of college students come to St. Louis for this missions conference where they get to see all these different opportunities, these different ways to serve God and His church and the unreached world, things to deal with, like, you know, anti-sex trafficking and serving the poor overseas, preaching the gospel to the most unreached places in the, they got everything at this conference. So I was there, and I was just walking through all the different aisles, looking at all the opportunities, and I felt, you know, tugged in my heart in a few different directions. You know, I thought, well, it was actually three different directions. You know, Lord, are you calling me to maybe pastor a small church? Could I be a pastor? I feel like I, you know, maybe have what it takes to move overseas and be a missionary. Maybe you're calling me into missions, into one of these opportunities, or, you know, judging on kind of who I am at this point, perhaps even a professor at a Bible school. You know, pastor, missionary, professor. I could really go in any of those directions, Lord. Give me clarity. So fast forward a few years, Liz and I are married, 2016, I'm beginning seminary, going through Western, taking classes, and I'm loving every minute of it, and I'm really learning about myself, that God has wired me as someone who loves to study and to learn and then to teach, to talk about the stuff that I'm learning. That's how God has wired me. So we began looking, as a couple, in 2016, shortly after we were married, for opportunities. Maybe not to pastor a church, but maybe those other two options, missionary, professor. Is there anything that exists out in the wide world that kind of blends those two roles together? So we emailed a bunch of mission agencies, some of the mission agencies that are actually featured here, Pioneers, World Venture, Overseas Mission Team. Yeah, we emailed these guys. Well, what opportunities are there for, I guess formerly it would be called theological education overseas? So we, you know, began to get some responses back, and I actually ended up contacting my missions board of the church that I attended while in college, a board that I served on for a couple of years. They pointed me to a crew missionary, Campus Crusade, and he pointed us to IGSL, which stands for
International Graduate School of Leadership. So this is a seminary that's based in Manila, more specifically Quezon City in the Philippines. And its roots go back to 1973. So it was actually started by Campus Crusade for Christ missionaries back then. And their mission, the whole purpose why they built this school, is to mobilize Christian leaders around the world to fulfill the Great Commission, where they're really focused on training missionaries, not just from reached countries, but specifically the unreached countries, places where Jesus's name has not been preached. So they want to take Christians from those countries and build them up and train them and equip them so that they can go back to their home countries and be effective disciple makers. And it has grown. It started out with only a handful of students, literally a handful, I think maybe 8 graduates in their first class, and now it's grown to 400 students currently at their school.
Yeah, so it's a pretty big operation. You know, while we were singing our second song earlier, and that chorus that just repeats, "Where you go, I go, what you say, I say," I just got this strong impression we were singing that line in particular, "What you say, I'll say," just to communicate to you guys as a church what God says, and what Liz and I hope to communicate this morning. What God says is, I have a heart for the nations. Mm-hmm. I want the nations to know me. I've told my church to go out and make disciples of all nations. That's the Great Commission. And that's what this little school in the Philippines is all about. That's its DNA. And that's why they have, as the first letter in their name, International Graduate School of Leadership. It's in the Philippines, a reached country, lots of believers in the Philippines, many, many believers, but it services, it teaches, it equips students from outside of the Philippines as well. So half of the students at IGSL are Filipino. The other half, they're from all over. Check out some of the countries that these students are now serving in. You know, India, Indonesia, Laos, Russia, of all places, China. These students come from countries that are unreached, countries that don't have access to the gospel, that have never heard the name of Jesus, but there's a handful of believers there, just a small handful of believers, and they hear about this opportunity to get an education at this school in the Philippines and then return to their home country, learn some of the Bible and the theology, the ministry, the practical skills, how to make disciples at this school, and then use those skills, put them into practice in their home country to start, you know, making gospel movements in Vietnam, Thailand. So it's a really exciting opportunity that we have to, you know, it's a privilege, honestly, to be able to, you know, touch their lives, even for a couple of years. And one additional country, we can add one more country to the list in that blank spot, and that country would be
Mongolia. So Mongolia is a highly unreached country, but one exciting thing, David and I just took a recent trip to the school just the last March, and we actually met these four gentlemen who are now currently students at IGSL. So these are four men who became Christians in Mongolia, one of the few Christians in their area, and a Western missionary met them and knew about IGSL, and these men are passionate about the gospel. They want to plant a church, but they don't have the biblical training, the leadership training that they need, so he recommended, hey, I know about IGSL. You guys should apply. And so they applied. They are the first students from Mongolia at the school. We actually met them. What they're wearing these days is very different than what they're wearing in this picture. They're getting hot and sweaty in the Philippines. But so amazing, and what a privilege to meet them. I got to meet one of their wives. David played ping pong with one of their wives, and just amazing to interact with them and just to see their excitement in making the gospel known in a country where there aren't any churches, where Jesus' name is not known. And I don't know if you guys can guess what's happening on the picture, in the picture on the left there. Yeah, so they're serious about baptism by immersion. answers about their walk with the Lord. They want to be obedient. God says after you get saved, you get baptized. They're like, okay, this is where the water is, and we're going to do it.
So the same four men are featured in this picture right here. Those the same four guys in the admissions building at IGSL. These are the incoming students. These guys, I cannot pronounce their name, by the way. That's a lot of letters that usually don't go next to each other. but they're serving the Lord.
So one of the other things that we really appreciate about the school is their holistic approach towards education, and knowing that they're basically equipping disciple makers, people who are going to plant churches. So they have a kind of threefold approach to their education. So the first they call head. It's a head, heart, hands approach. So the head part, this is the classroom teaching that they're doing. So David would be teaching Old Testament classes. This is him doing a lesson when we were over there during our last visit. So he'd be teaching Old Testament. I would probably be teaching education classes for those students who have more of an education focus, and also be training and equipping teachers to be effective teachers at the school. And then they also have the heart aspect. So every student is involved in a small group, similar to a growth group. They call them ISGs, iron sharpening groups. And here's an ISG that I was a part of with a student. One of the one in the red shirt right there is one of the wives of the students from Mongolia. But we have another student from Congo here, from Vietnam, whose name is Phuc. And it was just a privilege working with them and being able to be in a small group with them. So another part of our roles over there would be David would be leading one of the small groups, ISGs, and I would be leading another similar to what you see pictured here. And then the last aspect is hands. So they know it's really important for these students to get just practical training on how to make disciples, how to evangelize, how to do ministry. And so every week, once a week, they go out and do what they call target area ministry, where they go to different parts of the Philippines and do particular ministry work. So this is David on one of the days. I didn't go out because I was pregnant at this time and did not want to be in a hot, congested car.
Yeah, these handful of men and women who went on this target area ministry with me, their ministry is at a Filipino public high school. So once a week on Wednesdays, everyone in the school, all 400 students, scatter throughout Metro Manila and go to their target area ministry. And these guys, their ministry is at this high school, and they have worship services, they disciple the high schoolers, they evangelize them. So it's really, really cool work. These guys are getting their hands dirty. Many of the students already, they have long-term ministries that they've been a part of before they get to IGSL. This man, actually, he's Korean, and he was a missionary in China for, I think it was 10 years before China cracked down on missionaries, and he was kicked out of the country. And he came to IGSL just heartbroken, crushed, because, you know, his heart was for China. He'd spent 5 years serving as a missionary in China, a difficult place for a Korean missionary. So he had to do a lot of heart healing at IGSL, and now he's being trained and equipped to be sent out to a different mission field. So everyone has a story. I'm so excited to learn more of the stories of the students at the school and just be able to, again, touch their lives for a couple of years.
One of the other things I just really appreciate about this school in particular is how they've thought about the different challenges that families face when they come overseas for education, because you have students coming from Mongolia, from Vietnam, all these different countries, and challenges with that could also introduce, like, they do not want to separate families, because oftentimes if they went to, you know, other schools, there's not going to be housing or the affordability to be able to keep their family together. So IGSL actually requires that students bring their entire family, their wife, their kids, and they provide on-campus housing for their entire family. So they've built into the whole school housing to provide for these students. So it's not separating families, that they're keeping them together, and the whole family is being ministered to during their time.
This is a Vietnamese couple, Phuc and Dam, and their three kids. Their oldest daughter is taking this picture right now. Their heart and passion was to start the first Christian elementary school in Vietnam. Mm. And they came to IHSL to be trained up to do that very thing. Really, really cool. They're an amazing couple. They picked us up from the airport for our first trip to the Philippines.
And then the second challenge that they figured out how to solve is the children that they bring over can't attend Filipino public schools. And so they've created a school on campus, again, for the children. And so when we went, we got to visit their classrooms. We have a couple of different pictures.
It's called the Dynamic Learning Center.
Yeah, that's what DLC is. They don't call it a school. It has a fancier name, Dynamic Learning Center, where the kids come to school just like they would anywhere else. They have uniforms, and it's just so sweet to see the kids also being poured into as well at the school. Yeah, these kids are super, super cute.
So Liz has a lot of experience as a high school teacher, and there's not a lot of high school students in the DLC, but there's a handful, and with those, Liz will certainly help in their education as well as one of her many roles on campus. This is another one, by the way.
And then the last aspect where, again, IGSL has thought just so well through all the needs of these families who are coming over. So some of the wives end up doing the degree programs with their husbands. Some of them decide to take care of the children more at home while the husbands are focusing on the studies. But IGSL really understands that it's a whole family being in ministry, that both the husband and wife are partners together in ministry, so they want to pour into the wives specifically as well, that they're growing up alongside their husbands, that they're growing together. And in order to provide space for that, on Mondays, they essentially shut down classes for just the seminary kind of Bible school classes, and that day is dedicated to PIM, or what they call partners in ministry, where women are taking Bible classes, that they're in discipleship groups, that they're getting poured into. And this is super empowering, especially from some women who are from countries where women's education is not valued. So to be poured into in this very special and unique way for their husbands to be able to be at home taking care of the kids and cooking, it's just an amazing way to build up both of the partners and for them to feel valued.
So we're almost done with our little presentation. Would you guys like to get a bit of a tour of our new home in the Philippines? Again, probably a year out from now. Would you like to see kind of the space we would live?
Yeah.
All right. Well, here it is. This is a little Google Earth image here. The buildings in IGSL are kind of this little circle here. Some of the names of the different buildings are the Bright House. Got that name from Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade. The Lighthouse, Ezra House, Asia Leadership Center, and the chapel. Let me identify some of those on the map for you, and then we'll look at some more pictures. So just very briefly, the Ezra House is where some of the faculty live. We'll probably live in the Ezra House for our first year, maybe 2 years, while in the Philippines. And then the Lighthouse and the Bright House are where the students live. That's student dormitories. Education building is right here. And on the fifth floor of the education building is the gym. It gets unbearably hot in the gym. The library is beautiful. Chapel is on the top floor of the library. Cafeteria is kind of tucked right behind the library. And then the DLC, the Dynamic Learning Center, is right next to the Ezra House. And that's our home in a crowded Quezon City. But let's take a little closer look at some of these buildings. We can do a little Where's Waldo game with Liz. She's kind of tucked away in a number of these pictures, starting with the next one, I think. So yeah, this is the main education building. I think it's floors 3 and 4 where most of the education happens. I think I was on floor 3 when I was there, when Liz and I were there in March.
So yeah, okay. So this is the lawn in front of the education building. I'm carrying an umbrella there, not because it was raining, but for the sun to keep myself cool. But yeah, this is probably the one patch of grass in most of Quezon City. I don't know. It's the beautiful green area, though, that's really, really nice. But this is just in front of the education building.
Yeah, compared to just the sprawling metropolis of Metro Manila, coming on campus at IGSL just feels like such an oasis, such a peaceful space.
And this is just in the back of my head in the parking lot, again, facing the education building. Here's another view of the education building with the field nearby. So this is where the kids have recess for the Dynamic Learning Center. This is the gym. They love sports, especially basketball in the Philippines. So they have open gym in the evenings. So this is where they'll play together and get a workout.
I lost track of how many Golden State Warriors jerseys I saw when I was in the Philippines. Those guys are fans.
This is the library. This was actually the first building that was on the campus when Campus Crusade bought this property. It used to be a house, so that's why it kind of has that style of looking like a house. But they turned it into the library and over the years have built all the other buildings that you see.
And let's see, I think it's the lighthouse here is kind of tucked away to the right side, but we'll look at that a little bit closer in a second. Small little cafeteria. They serve rice with every meal, even breakfast. It's a little weird for me. I think I'll stick with pancakes.
And then this is just, again, one of the housing units for the families. So again, each of these rooms are large enough for, it's like being in college again, but you have a family and kids right next to each other. So it's kind of, the students love it. They love being in this really tight-knit community. They really enjoy it.
So this is the Bright House, the other student dormitory on the opposite side of campus. And right next to the Bright House is the Ezra House, just kind of to the left as you pan the camera from the last photo. And that's where the faculty live, and or at least some of them. A small portion of the faculty live there, especially the faculty from non-Western countries, because all the faculty are missionaries. They have to raise support, including the Eastern faculty, and it's harder for them. To raise their support. So the school tries to open up this housing for them to kind of ease that burden. This is a very dark photo. you really can't see anything. It's taken from the top floor of the Ezra building where the faculty live. This is kind of the colorful edge of it. And we're looking at the education building with the gym. This very dark area is the library, and then the lighthouse is right there. But kind of moving on to just the end of our little talk with you guys. This agency, World Venture, is what makes this whole adventure possible for us. World Venture is what you call a sending agency. So Campus Crusade is one, TEAM is one, Overseas Mission Fellowship is another. And World Venture has been active for 75 years. They have 500 missionaries in 70 countries. And yeah, Liz and I and little Pip are among that number. And yeah, they handle things like they process our donations, they help us maintain our visas, they give us legal counsel if necessary, emergency evacuation, all these things. But again, they make this this ministry possible for us, and that's just the agency that we go through.
And so the ways in which we're asking people to pray and think about partnering with us in this ministry, because it's not just us doing this work, it's we are backed up by almost tons of people, churches who are going to partner with us and get involved in this as well. So one of the first ways is just being a part of our prayer team. So these are the people who, I mean, we just really emphasized today, I feel like, in our prayer time, how important prayer is. Especially when you're going into anything where you're trying to follow and be obedient to the Lord, the enemy doesn't like that. And so we're trying to just follow and be obedient to God, and we're going to need people's prayers to be behind us. This is actually a photo of us when we were appointed by World Venture as missionaries. They're praying over us and praying over our support raising, praying for just continued God's provision for us and care for us. So we need people who are going to commit to pray for us as we continue this journey of raising our support. And then also once we're out on the field, these are the people who are going to be receiving our monthly email updates and who are going to be committed to uplifting us in prayer. The second way is we're asking people to get involved is connecting us with other people, so or churches who might be interested in learning more about this ministry that we're going to be involved in, and maybe they want to also be a part of this as well. So just introducing us to them, getting us connected with them, so we can share what God is doing. And then the third way, and David kind of already mentioned this, the only way that IGSL can offer this education to these students, who a lot of them are from third world countries, bringing in their entire family over, there's no way that they could afford this on their own financially. And so it is a school that's meant as a ministry. So all of the teachers, the accountants, the administration, everyone on staff at the school is fully supported, that they don't receive a salary from the school, that they are also backed up by individuals and churches who are supporting them so we can offer this education for these students.
Yeah, so that means that Liz and I will be among the missionaries on staff at this school, not receiving a salary and needing to be supported by our friends and family and believing community. Just a short statistic, it's actually about 70% of the students at IGSL receives near full scholarships. So that's certainly all of those who need them from third world countries. Those four Mongolian men have their education costs covered. Because of the missionary status of those who are teaching them. Our financial need, a budget set by our sending agency, World Venture, is roughly $7,000 a month. And that's a pretty big number, but living overseas, and even in a third world country where you would think that the cost would be considerably lower, has a number of kind of hidden financial difficulties. On top of the astronomical cost of healthcare, there are even just little kind of cultural difficulties as well. One of the families in IGSL right now, it's the Virtue family, Brian, Christine, and their children, they went through a bit of a difficulty recently. That they're moving their house so they could be a little bit closer to the school where their children go, and they're... In this case, Filipino landlord refused to give them their deposit back. And I guess the way that the deposit worked, it was a massive sum, and they just felt totally slighted. And I guess that can happen. You feel like you can take advantage of a Westerner. Sometimes it can happen. So there are needs that are difficult to cover. And World Venture has dozens of missionaries in the Philippines, and they know what's required for their missionaries to be able to live and not be poor as well. And this is the budget they gave us, and all of those little gray army are potential partners who come alongside us and support us at various numbers per month. So we have financial partners that give us $25 a month. They've committed to that, and we have some other partners who've committed to a little bit more than that. We are right now at 50.23% of our budget. So we're halfway, and that's super exciting. Our goal was to get to 50% by the end of Liz's school year, so end of May. But we beat that, right?
God's providing, yeah.
Totally, totally is, in amazing ways. So we're halfway there, and we hope to, once Liz is done teaching and I finish my school at Western Seminary this summer, we hope to devote three or four or five